Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya. Today we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 13, the Lord's dancing at Rathyatra. Now because Vaishasika last week did his Sankirtan seminar, he didn't do the verses that he was scheduled to do. There are no purports, but today we're doing 25 through 61. Whoa. But there's only two purports, so it's more description of what's taking place. Om Agnanatya Namandasya Agnanandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha. Because it's descriptive and Bengali isn't my mother tongue, I'm going to read several verses in English together rather than the Bengali and then the English and then the Bengali and the English. And that way everybody's mind stays more focused on topics. So we'll start with text 25. Plus it's pretty complex because what's being described is how Lord Chaitanya divided everyone into the different groups. So it's a lot of names and who they are. Previously we discussed how they cleansed the Gundicha temple and had the Naitrotsava festival where Lord Jagannath came out of his private chambers into the temple. And then we read about how he was carried from the throne to the cart, placed on the cart. The king came and swept the road, and then decorations of the carts and the beginning of the Rathyatra. So that's where we are in our narrative. The fine white sand spread all over the path resembled the banks of the Jamuna, and the small gardens on both sides looked just like those in Vrindavan. As Lord Jagannath rode in his cart, he saw the beautiful beauty on both sides. His mind was filled with pleasure. The pullers of the cart were known as goatids, and they pulled with great pleasure. However, the car sometimes went very fast and sometimes very slow. Sometimes the cart would stand still and not move, even though it was pulled very vigorously. The chariot, therefore, moved by the will of the Lord, not by the strength of an ordinary person. The way that they stop and go, the brake system on the carts is quite interesting. We have this, I've explained before, it's almost as big as this temple room, the cart. And that moving down the main road, being pulled by many ropes, how do you stop such a force? If you look closely at the pictures of the Rath cart, there are horses in front. And then there are two men standing there driving the horses, they're wooden horses. And behind that, there's a huge log. And what happens is that there's men who drop that log in front of the wheels and therefore stop it. And then when it's time to go, they lift it up. So that's their braking system. As the cart stood still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all his devotees and with his own hand decorated them with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati were both personally given garlands and sandalwood pulp by the very hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This increased their transcendental pleasure. Similarly, when Advaita Acharya Nityananda Prabhu felt the touch of the transcendental hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were both very pleased. The Lord also gave garlands and sandalwood pulp to the performers of Sankirtan. The chief two persons, performers, were Swarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur. There were altogether four parties, Kirtan performers, comprising 24 chanters. So if there's four parties and there's 24 people.
Six.
Very good. Comprising 24 chanters, and in each party there were also two mridanga players, making an additional total of eight more persons, two in the four groups. Eight, so there was eight in each group also. When the four parties were formed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after consideration, divided the chanters. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, and Vakreshwara Pandit to dance in each of the four respective parties. Swarup Damodar was chosen as the leader of the first party and was given five assistants to respond to his chanting. The five who responded to the singing of Swarup Damodar were Damodar Pandit, Narayan, Govinda Dat, Raghava, and Sri Govinda Nandana. Advaita Prabhu was ordered to dance in this first group. The Lord then formed another group with Srivas Thakur as their chief man. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the first group, Damodar Swarup was appointed chief singer, and the responding singers were Damodar Pandit, Narayan, Govinda Dat, Raghava Pandit, and Govinda Nandana. Sri Advaita Acharya was appointed the dancer. Then another group, the next group, was formed, and the chief singer was Srivas Thakur. So it's assumed, due to prior reading of the branches and trees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back in Adi Lila, and our culture, where we have the appearance days and disappearance days of the different Vaishnava acharyas, that the reader is somewhat cognizant and knows who these different devotees are. And the more one knows their nature and personality, the more there is appreciation and taste and understanding of what's about to take place. So we have Swarup Damodar, who in Krishna Lila is Lalita Sakhi. In the Kavi Karnapura, not Gauri Gonga, just to speak of the other one with the pastimes, Ananta Vrindavan Champu. Ananda Vrindavan Champu, there's a story of Holi. And in the springtime, what happens is that a Gandharva Apsara named Matangi comes to Vrindavan to play music for the pleasure of the gopis and Krishna. And she's like a celestial singer from the heavenly planets. And she starts to sing a bhajan, and everybody's just rolling in ecstasy. And somebody comments how good she's doing and how well she's singing. And one of the other gopis says, yeah, well, that's nice, but Lalita Sakhi can sing in microtones. Her singing is much better than Matangi's. And then she said, Lalita, give her a sample. And Lalita starts to sing. And microtones means that her rhythm, her melodious, was off the charts compared with this heavenly Apsara. And then Radharani came, and she felt bad that Matangi was a little bit feeling inferior, so she boosted her enthusiasm. But the point is that Lalita Sakhi is such a beautiful singer, and her manifestation as in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila as Swarup Damodar, it's mentioned other places that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much loved to hear Swarup Damodar sing, especially in the Gambira when he would sing these different verses corresponding to his moods, but also here. So imagine Swarup Damodar singing and Advaita Acharya dancing in this first group. Then another group with Srivas Thakur as the singer. The five singers who responded to the singing of Srivas Thakur were Gangadas, Haridas, Sriman, Subhananda, and Sriram Pandit. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was the dancer in this group. So Srivas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. Srivas Thakur singing, Nityananda Prabhu dancing. Another group was formed, consisting of Vasudev, Gopinath, and Murari. All these were responsive singers, and Mukunda was the chief singer. Another two persons, Srikanta and Vallabhasen, joined as responsive singers. In this group, Haridas Thakur was the dancer. purport, Vaishnava Prabhupada. In this third group, Mukunda was appointed as the chief singer. The party was composed of Vasudev, Gopinath, Murari, Srikant, and Vallabhasen. The senior Haridas was the dancer. The Lord formed another group, appointing Govinda Ghosh as the leader. In this younger group, Haridas Jr., Vishnudas, and Raghava were the responding singers. Two brothers named Madhava Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh also joined this group as the responsive singers, and Vakreshwar Pandit was the dancer. There was a Sankirtan party from the village known as Kulina Gram, and Ramananda and Satyaraj were appointed the dancers in this group. And there was another party that came from Shantipur and was formed by Advaita Acharya. Achyutananda was the dancer, and the rest of the men were singers. Another party was formed by the people of Khanda. These people were singing in a different place. In that group, Narahari Prabhu and Raghunandana were dancing. Four parties chanted and danced in front of Lord Jagannath, and on both sides were another two parties, and another was at the rear. So we have four parties in front of the cart, one on either side of the chariot, and one in back. Altogether, seven parties of Sankirtan, and in each party, two men were beating drums. Thus, 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous, and the devotees became mad. All the Vaishnavas came together like an assembly of clouds. As the devotees chanted the holy names, tears of great ecstasy fell like rain from their eyes. When the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the three worlds. Indeed, no one could hear mundane sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtan. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered through all seven groups, chanting the names of Hari, Hari. Raising his arms, he shouted, Jai Jagannath! All glories to Lord Jagannath! So at this point, there's more, but I want to explain how the acharyas have revealed what's going on in Lord Chaitanya's heart, how he's becoming inspired in this atmosphere. Kind of like if you take, I've given these examples before, but they're appropriate at this point. In mathematics, we learn when we're young the basic foundation, 0 through 9. First, you have to learn how to count. Then you take those numbers, once you're cognizant of them, and learn how to add them. Simple things. Subtract them. Multiply them. Divide them. Fractionalize them. There's still only 0 through 9, but you can go all the way up to complex physics and quantum physics with the same basic foundation. In music, a person learns the basic scales, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, and then learns different scales on an instrument, let's say, in different keys, and takes those same basic notes, and you can create an entire symphony. You can take 26 letters, at least in the English alphabet, and learn the alphabet, and then you leave simple words and their definitions, and then you can take those, and the complexity as it evolves turns into an entire language, poetry, subtle meanings and different things of each letter or word and its meaning. In this way, we see how basic concepts help us understand and become the foundation of a complex situation. So in order to explain this, I want to use the example of a shell game. Perhaps you've seen this, at least in movies or something like that, where a person's on the street performer, has a table with cups, three different cups, and a ball. And the shell game means that the person takes the ball and moves it around and moves the cups, covering the ball, And the watchers, the people, the customers, the people who are watching bet on how they can find which cup the ball is under. The ball moves under different cups according to the dexterity of the performer. So this reveals that sometimes the ball is under one cup and sometimes it's under another cup. So this analogy will play the game called alambana. Alambana is the support. It's that which supports rasa. Who supports or what supports rasa are persons, people. You don't have rasa between inanimate objects. So people are the ingredients, participants in the rasa. And the game is alambana. And there are basically two features to alambana. The object, the abode of love, the person who has the love, and the object of love, the person upon whom the love is bestowed. The ashraya is the abode of love, and the vishaya is the object of love. So, in our analogy, the cup with the ball is the ashraya. The cup with the ball is the abode of love. And the other one is the object of love. Now, in the descriptions of Krishna and the gopis, who is generally the ashraya, the abode of love? Who can help me? No? In this particular, most of the time, when we hear of the gopis and Krishna, who is the abode of love and who is the object of love? Yes. So the gopis are the ashraya. They're the one with the ball. They're the abode of love. And Krishna is the object of love. But as Sesha picked up, if we switch, so that's one angle of vision of this loving relationship. But if we switch the balls to the other cup, then Krishna becomes the abode of love and the gopis become the object of his love. Right? It's like if you read the story of Romeo and Juliet, if you look at it from the point of view of Romeo's love for Juliet, then he's the ashraya and she's the vishaya. She's the object of his love and he's the abode of love for her. But you can look at the exact same story and see it from the other point of view, Juliet's love for Romeo. She's the ashraya, and he becomes the vishaya. He becomes the object of love for Juliet. Now, let us try to understand what's taking place on this road between Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This verse number 6, from the very beginning of Adi Lila, describes, in essence, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appears from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appears from the ocean. So, basically, in that chapter, when that verse was explained, it's described that Krishna, Antir Krishna, Bahir Gaur. Antar means inside, Bahir means outside. Antar Krishna, Bahir Gaur. Inside is Krishna, outside is Gauranga. He's covered, he's accepted. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has accepted the mood, the effulgence, the sentiments and love of Srimati Radharani, and that dominates. This container is practically inconceivable. How can you have combination and separation in the same container? How is that even like remotely possible? How combined and separated in the same container? the idea is that the separation dominates in this container. Although he's Krishna, he enters into the mood of Srimati Radharani. Now, what's happening in the Rath Yatra is that there are different features in life as we go through it. We've all experienced it. We're also sentient entities that experience these things. And sometimes events take place which excite and inspire us in different ways. When Vaisheshika was here, it was really nice. He was talking about an athlete whose mother died. And this person played in the game like he's never played before. Because of these events that took place, something was inspired within his heart, which brought out another feature of his abilities. So what's happening here is this whole description of Jagannath going away for 2 weeks and then coming out and cleaning the Gundicha and then having the procession from the throne out to the cart, and the king comes and the king cleans the cart, and then the carts start going, and Lord Jagannath looks out and he sees the sands, and the performers of Sankirtan come together, and these are all Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates. Goloka Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. He's brought them with him to this world from Goloka Vrindavan, and now he's separated them into these groups, and they're starting to play their mridangas, and they're starting to play the kartals, and they're starting to chant, and the cart's coming down the road, and what happens to Lord Chaitanya's heart? He's starting to feel inspired. These things are called udipana. It's another feature of the game. As the person, if he just kind of played around and didn't perform anything, he wouldn't attract the crowd. And what happens is that as he's performing the game of alambana, moving all his different balls and cups, he starts playing with the group, and he starts getting people to bet and tries to get the price of who can guess which cup the ball is under higher. So in the same way, there are different features. These different features being described all excite the flow of rasa. There's a really nice description in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna's rasa lila. So let us read about what excited Krishna. And then we can take these same basic concepts, like taking the numbers, or taking the musical notes, or taking the alphabet, and putting them into this feature of Rath Yatra. This is from chapter 29. This is when the Lord and the gopis first meet. Or actually, it's even before that. It's describing the full moon rising and what happens to Krishna. This is from Vishnath Chakrabarti Thakur's Sarata Darshani and commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Bhadarayani said, or Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences. Yet, upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind toward loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. The purport. Even though Krishna is Bhagavan, full in all varieties of opulences, he turned his mind toward enjoying because of the time, place, and persons, which are three udipanas to excite rasa. The time was? Huh? Sarat Purnima, the full moon night of autumn. The place was? Vrindavan, Bamsibat. And the persons were? Loving damsels of Braja. All three of these, time, place, and persons, served to inflame the passion of enjoyment by their extreme capacity to attract Krishna's mind with their sweetness. The attraction of the autumn night. Krishna became desirous of relishing, with his own ears and other senses, the variegated charms of the topmost experts of billions of women in the arts of amorous love. He wanted to enjoy with his own senses the sweet sounds of the gopis' voices, their beauty and fine fragrance, tenderness, cleverness, and skill in dancing and playing music. Krishna also wanted the gopis to relish with their own ears and other senses the sweet sounds of his voice. Krishna's yogamaya potency under the influence of pure love and impelled to act by Krishna's satya-sankalpa potency, the potency to fulfill his desires immediately, brought millions of other knights, which were indeed needed for carrying out such loving pastimes, into that single night of merely four praharas, 12 hours. Therefore, the word for knights, ratrihi, is plural. So, this is the first description of the first Udipana. The Sarat season, Purnima, wasn't just one night. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Bhagavan. He's full in himself in all opulences. So what does he need? Others to engage with. He doesn't. He's fully self-satisfied and fully self-pleasurable. But because he has desires, the yogamaya potency worked in such a way to create an atmosphere which attracted him and inspired him to go beyond the normal, to create something unique. So it brought together all these different knights, which it turns out to be a knight of Lord Brahma, millions of years, because the performance of such experience with his gopi friends couldn't take place in such a short time. It wouldn't have fulfilled the need. The attractiveness of the place, so that's the time. The place. Although out of season, Sarad Pula Malika, the jasmine or malika flowers were blossoming in the autumn. In the next chapter, verse 11, it states, at the time of the rasa dance, the garlands of jasmine flowers on Krishna's neck became tinged with kumkum from Radharani's breasts. Thus, it should be understood that the jasmines were blooming out of season in the autumn. Verse 40 says, the gentle wind bore the fragrance of lotus flowers. Although lotus flowers do not bloom at night, it is understood that on this special night, the lotuses were blooming. Such is the super excellent charm of Vrindavan that there were lotus flowers open even during the night. So, the time was full moon night. The place was Vrindavan, and it's describing how the water flowing from the Jamuna, the cooling autumn night, and the unique feature of the malika flowers and lotus flowers in the air started to work on him. And finally, the attractiveness of the gopis. Sri Krishna got ready to enjoy those nights. In this regard, some may interpret the name Reme, or take pleasure, as meaning that Krishna is actually self-satisfied and innately full of all desires. This apparent enjoyment on his part with young women is only an external show, a false imitation of human life. In other words, it's only a show, like an actor. An actor may get into the part, but they're only acting. They're not really the person. They're playing the part of someone else. So the argument may be made that Krishna didn't really himself enjoy this. He's playing the part like a leela because he's self-satisfied. He doesn't have to do it. In reply to such a possible interpretation, The phrase arantam manas chakra is used to inform us that Krishna enjoyed internally, within his mind, manas, not externally. Very well, someone may say in agreement. This enjoyment is internal, but only for the cowherd damsels of Braja, because they are Krishna's devotees. In other words, not Krishna, he doesn't need to enjoy, but the gopis, the internal manas, is describing their enjoyment. To refute such an idea, the word chakra is intentionally used instead of to express that this enjoyment is for Krishna's own satisfaction. This moreover shows that the Vraj Gopis had such an incredible degree of Krishna prema that the Supreme Lord himself, although already fulfilled in all possible pleasures, was thinking of enjoying with them. So Krishna, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur has pierced into Krishna's mind, and he's actually understanding what is enthusing him. Now, let's take those same basic principles and apply them to these next verses from the texts that we're studying today. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now set up everybody and their chanting groups, and he's starting to go among them, chanting Hari Hari, Jai Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in all seven groups. Does anybody see the correlation between this and Krishna's Rasa Lila?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see these inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed devotional service, could understand. Lord Jagannath was very pleased by the Sankirtan, and he brought his cart to a standstill just to see the performance. Now back to our Ashraya Vishaya. This is Krishna dancing in front of Krishna. Is it not? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Krishna, and he's dancing in front of Krishna. But yet, they're the two opposites of Ashraya and Vishaya, because Lord Jagannath is seeing who dance before him. Very good. Yes, he's seeing Radharani. So he's stopping. Oh, let me see this dance. King Pachaparudra was also astonished to see the Sankirtan. He became inactive and was converted into ecstatic love of Krishna. When the king informed Kasi Misra about the glories of the Lord, what he was seeing, Kasi Misra replied, Oh, king, your fortune has no limit. The king and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were both aware of the Lord's activities, but no one else could see these tricks of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand. Let's do number 60 together. We can just read the Bengali together. Rajara tucha seva deki prabhura tusta mahana seta prasade paila rahasya dashana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the street. And for this humility, the king received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mystery of the Lord's activities is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Lord Jagannath was astonished to see the transcendental dancing and chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he stopped his cart just to see this dancing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then danced in such a mystical way that he pleased Lord Jagannath. The seer and the dancer were one and the same supreme person. But the Lord, being one and many at the same time, was exhibiting the variegatedness of this pastime. This is the meaning behind the mysterious exhibition. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand how both of them were enjoying each other's activities. Another mysterious exhibition was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simultaneous presence in seven groups. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand that also. This reminds me of what we're reading in our Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto studies about mystic cities, how they're tasty but inferior to Krishna consciousness and rasa. So it's almost as if this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibiting himself in seven groups is subordinate, the way this purport is written, to the ecstasy that is taking place between Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and King Pachaparudra, understanding that. Now, the next point is also very sublime. Let's do 61 together.
Sakshathena deha deka pukshate tataya ke bujite pare chaitanya chandrera ramaya.
Although the king was refused an interview, he was indirectly bestowed causeless mercy. Who can understand the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing the part of the world teacher, he did not agree to see the king, because the king is a mundane person interested in money and women. Indeed, the very name king suggests one who is always surrounded by money and women. As a sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid of both money and women. The very word king is repugnant to one in the renounced order of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see the king, but indirectly, by the Lord's causeless mercy, the king was able to understand the Lord's mysterious activities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities were exhibited sometimes to reveal him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes to show him as a devotee. Both kinds of activity are mysterious and appreciated only by pure devotees. So although King Pachaparudra on the plane of this world was refused to have an audience with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu internally in his heart, and by this mystical example, he was given the mercy. I've mentioned in different classes before that Samapriya is writing a book. And one of the themes, obviously we discuss it, and writing is not just something that you sit down kind of like a diary or something like that, you just write it. When you actually get down to edit it and put it in such a way that others can understand it, you go deeper into each topic. And this is a compilation of her writings for 40 years, 45 years, on a regular basis. And one of the themes that we are discussing as an important feature of this particular book is that although many devotees, as we see in like Memories of Srila Prabhupada, many devotees, they share their personal vapu experience of relating to Srila Prabhupada when he was with us. And those pastimes are so intimate and important in our lives and in their lives. Simultaneously, everyone who is a follower of Srila Prabhupada has this kind of experience that King Pachaparudra is having internally with Srila Prabhupada. Something's going on by following his teachings, by meditating upon him, by hearing him, by molding our lives according to his teachings. Something internal is taking place even to people that never met him. Just like this king. He never met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But yet he's being inspired within on a level that's deeper and more intimate than many of the others. It's like when he says to Kasi Mishra, he explained what's going on. And the king said, oh my God, your fortune has no limit. So in this way, we can appreciate how each person has this intimate relationship with Krishna, with the parampara, with Srila Prabhupada, and try to cultivate that vision. So that's the end of the verses for today. But what it does, it reveals and completes our setup. Because what will happen next in coming weeks is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will start to express his ecstasy before Lord Jagannath. And this was required, just like learning the alphabet, learning the musical notes, learning the numbers are important for understanding how to use them. This will help us, this description, will help us understand how Rath Yatra evolves into an ecstatic exchange between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath with all these devotees chanting. And what is the main fuel? What is the main udipana? The main exciting feature of this entire experience? The Harinam Sankirtan. That inherent has within itself, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, has, it's like a seed that's just like, poof. It's like right on, right now in this story, it will start to explode with flowers and blooms of ecstasy that the Lord experiences. Any questions or comments? John. Hari Hari Bo.
Is that the comment?
Yes.
Just wondering here, we have one main singer and then we have five other singers to respond. So one thought comes is certainly that I guess these are the main people responding and others are not. I mean, that's just the thought comes, like there's a lead singer and then you have designated people who are responding. So I guess the others are not, the crowd or whatever. So I'm thinking, are they chanting some specific bhajans for Lord Jagannath there, or what is happening in this? Anybody knows?
I heard a lot of the melody that so down the scene. Yeah. Now, this is what I heard.
Okay, thank you.
When he came to Mayapur, his contemple that...
Which Puri Maharaj? Pramod or
Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. He would speak every year, actually. In my time, 80s, on Prabhupada's disappearance day, we would have a lot of fun. He was not popular well to the world at that time, and he would come and spend hours in the GVC room on the second floor, the old GVC room. And this discussion that when Swarup Damodar would sing, Advaita Acharya is dancing. When Sivas Thakur is singing, then Nityananda Prabhu is dancing. When Mukunda Datta is singing, there is a collaboration because there is a particular melody, particular tune, and particular glorification in a poem format that they would, only Mahaprabhu would relish, and they would actually exchange with Mahaprabhu at that time. And it was very, it is transcendental, but at the same time, not everybody would, that when they would sing and dance, and their happiness would overflow sometime, and then the public who were surrounding, they would get benefit. That was the... discussion, what is benefit to others? He said they all get benefit because it's overflowing the ecstasy.
Nice.
But the relishment, they are the main relisher, Mahaprabhu and all his entourage.
And each group, they're singing differently.
Different.
Yeah, sweet. Nice. Each group had its own sentiments, meaning, mood.
Like Santipuri, they would sing, here he says, Achyutananda was the main dancer.
Yeah.
And he was a young boy. If you really think, Prabhupada says when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was only 3 years old. Mm. So by this time, Ratha Jatra was not really, he's not a grown-up man or anything, just a young boy.
6, 7 maybe.
Yeah, 6, 7 years old. But he was the main dancer. Mahaprabhu appointed him. There was a particular melody. Because isn't like Advaita Acharya was more thrilled that such a boy came in his life as a son, and he was so ecstasy filling with Achyutananda. So there's a speciality of...
Very nice, thank you. Jai Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.